From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Edson. New Orleans is a town where culture takes place in public. Parades, second lines, festivals, just about every week here, folks gather in large groups to listen to music and dance, and often follow a band down the street. When people come together like this, it can spark a great time, or...
like we got multiple people shot in the park.
Okay. Simple.
That spark can light a wildfire. November 2015, a few nights before Thanksgiving, it was a Sunday just after sunset. A few hundred people had gathered in a playground called Bunny Friend Park. There were DJs and music, and a little after 6 p.m., people started getting rowdy. Then shots rang out.
It was like actually like a war. Millions of people falling, machine guns, all type of guns.
This young college student, who also worked full-time, had come to Bunny Friend Park with a friend to check out the DJs. She asked us not to use her name because she's afraid someone involved in the crime will come after her. When the shooting started, she tried to run.
It was fenced off and it had exits, but they had people standing in exits shooting, so it was very, very intense. I guess it was kind of like a rushing pain, like my leg felt very heavy, like more than the other leg, so that's what made me look down. And I noticed I had like puddles of blood.
17 people were shot. No one was killed, but it shook New Orleans up. The Bunny Friend shooting was all over the news. It was one more reminder of how bad crime is in the city. Independent producer Eve Abrams has been reporting in New Orleans for 9 years. Today, we're revisiting a Reveal episode that she helped produce last year. She reported on the shooting and what happened when the police made their first arrest. The arrest would have huge and unexpected ripple effects that would go way beyond the shooters and the victims. Here's Eve.
5 days after the shooting, the New Orleans police identified their first suspect, a 32-year-old man named Joseph Allen. And that same morning, the day after Thanksgiving, private defense attorney Kevin Boucher went into work. I met Boucher at his office outside New Orleans. It was weird. It looked like a motel converted into office suites. We sat down at a big table in the conference room lined with books so he could tell me this whole story.
Can you walk us through the Joseph Allen case from the very beginning?
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. No, no problem.
This is how Boucher sounds almost all the time, like he's in the middle of putting out a fire.
All right, the scoop. Let's see.
He's slight with curly gray hair and glasses. He's been a lawyer for over 3 decades.
I have, almost without exception, worked the day after Thanksgiving. The phones don't ring. The clients aren't banging on the doors. It's quiet. It's peaceful. It's beautiful.
But this day, Boucher's phone was ringing when he walked in. On the other end of the line was a former client, Joseph Allen. Boucher reenacted the call for me. He got really into it.
Kev?
Yeah.
This is Joseph. Yeah? This is Joseph Allen. Yes, sir. Now, I figure this can't be a social call. There's something wrong, but I don't know what it is.
Boucher knew Allen. He'd represented him before, getting him out of prison and on parole. So Boucher wasn't too happy to hear what Allen said next.
I'm wanted. For what, Joe? The thing. What thing? The thing. What thing? You know, the bunny friend thing. Expletives deleted. You can't be serious. Kevin, I'm telling you, I didn't do it. I wasn't there. I didn't do it. I wasn't there. Where are you? Houston. Get your behind back here right this minute.
Boucher had worked really hard to get Allen out on parole before. So the next day, when Allen made it to his office, Boucher was annoyed. This is how you repay me?
You know, being involved in the worst thing. You're charged with 17 counts of attempted second-degree murder. Holy guacamole. Come on. And he says, but Kevin, I've got proof. I've got proof. He starts showing me receipts.
From Walgreens, Walmart, the Burlington Coat Factory, all from stores in Houston from the same day as the shooting. Allen told Boucher he was shopping with his pregnant wife. The problem was he paid for everything in cash. None of the receipts had his name on them. Boucher knew the prosecutors would say Allen's receipts proved nothing.
Well, where's the video, they will ask. And so I sat back and I turned to Joseph and said, Joseph, this is good, but it's not good enough.
Boucher was on the case, but in the meantime, he had to bring Allen to the police station where he was booked. The next morning, Boucher gets on the phone with a private investigator in Texas. He's racing against the clock. He needs to get his hands on security camera footage, something that will prove his client was in Houston and not in New Orleans at the time of the shooting. He knows stores record over their videos on the regular, so Boucher tells his detective.
Failure is not an option here, right? We've got to have it. Well, I'm having this problem. I don't want to hear it. We had to have it, and we had to get it quickly.
And they got it.
It would have been December 7th at 8 o'clock in the evening. We've got the video.
Security camera footage from multiple stores in Houston. Joseph Allen had been arrested based on the word of a single eyewitness. Now Boucher had proof that Allen couldn't possibly be one of the Bunny Friend shooters, a legal ace in the hole.
So now I'm not relying on a guy who's got a record or his wife who's going to quote, according to the DA, lie and say whatever needs to be said, or paper receipts that don't show a credit card that they will argue are fabrications. Now I got it here.
Boucher shows up at court the next day for Allen's hearing. He's ready to go. He's got his video. He figures the DA will charge Allen. And it's a pretty informed hunch because Boucher used to work for the district attorney's office.
This administration, basically, they charge everything. You know, we know that.
The DA is aggressive. He accepts almost every case the police bring his office, around 90% of the cases. So what happened next was surprising. The assistant district attorney prosecuting the case stood up and said, at this time, the state dismisses all charges against Joseph Allen.
Kaboom. And that was it.
But Boucher didn't quite trust that the DA was done with Allen.
So we tried the case on the streets of the city. We wanted the public to see with their own eyes what we had seen with our own eyes.
So Boucher set up a TV on the courthouse steps, and the news cameras followed. Here's New Orleans WDSU News.
Right now, we're actually looking at video of Joseph Allen and his wife, Valencia, when they were in Houston, Texas, on the day of that shooting. Surveillance video shows they were shopping. They
started. Joseph Allen's mother, who'd been on TV before defending her son, took the mic.
I am so thankful to the DA for dropping these charges. That when I told y'all that my son wasn't there, plenty of people thought I was lying, just trying to protect him. He was not there.
It was a huge relief for Joseph Allen and his family. But that whole saga of Allen, his lawyer Boucher, and the video footage, all of that was the last straw for someone else. A guy named Derwin Bunton. He's the man responsible for defending everyone in New Orleans who's too poor to afford a lawyer. When Derwin saw Joseph Allen go free, it made him rethink his job and his role in the justice system. He knew he had to do something big. Eve Tro of WWNO in New Orleans. That's right, we have two Eves on this episode. Takes the story from here.
That video footage of Joseph Allen played on the courthouse steps was all over the news. Derwin Bunton couldn't help but watch.
I am the chief public defender for Orleans Parish.
In Louisiana, a parish is what we call a county, basically.
How long have you had this job?
I have had this job now for 7 years.
Feels like how many years?
I joke with my friends, it's like dog years.
Derwin leads a team of 50 or so lawyers who defend poor people. In New Orleans, pretty much everyone arrested is poor. The office had 20,000 cases last year. For a guy with so much responsibility, Derwin, tall, calm, always in a suit, has an easy laugh, too. Like when I ask if I can watch a case in court, he points to my microphone.
I'm not going to let you bring that in.
Oh, I understand. I have no illusions about that. It has been made very clear that there is no recording in any Louisiana courtroom.
No recording in court, which makes this whole story more difficult to tell you. because we're about to dive into the world of Louisiana's court system. So what you won't hear is the courtroom drama, where public defenders face off against district attorneys, the prosecution. Public defenders are there to uphold the Sixth Amendment. You know that whole, you have a right to an attorney. If you cannot afford an attorney, one will be provided for you. But Derwin says that's been hard to do for his thousands of clients because his budget kept getting cut.
2011, 2012, 2013, 2014. I'm like, okay, this is a trend.
He's had to fire lawyers. That means everyone left gets more cases. Often, they barely get to meet with clients, much less hire private investigators to chase evidence.
You're not serving your clients your best when you are handling cases twice over the national standard.
Here's how the mass shooting at Bunny Friend Park fits in. When Derwin watched Joseph Allen, the man accused, go free, he thought, what if that man didn't hire a private attorney? If he hadn't called Kevin Boucher? If he couldn't afford to pay a lawyer? Derwin's office would have defended the case.
I looked at that case as it played out. And at the end of that case, I thought to myself, I'm not sure we would have made it to Houston on time. I'm not sure we would have made it to that footage before it was discarded or overwritten or erased, as a lot of that footage is nowadays. Even though it's out there, it doesn't remain forever. And if you move slow, then you're going to miss this very important evidence.
Derwin says it would have been hard, maybe impossible, for him or his public defenders to move as fast as private defense lawyer Kevin Boucher. Derwin thought if he had to defend Joseph Allen and didn't get that tape,
that man would have been on trial for what would have been effectively his life based on the alibi of his mom and the mother of his child, which would have immediately been discredited by the district attorney, his folks who love him. Of course they're saying he wasn't there. But he actually wasn't there.
This innocent man easily could have gone to jail for decades. It shook Derwin. This was January 2016. Derwin called in all staff and made an announcement.
I told my leadership team, I told my staff, we're not going to be complicit in that. And that's when we made the decision, you know, we're going to start refusing cases. Not just a sort of wait list, but we're going to say no. These are not our cases.
He began to refuse cases. Some cases that needed lots of time and attention. Ones with high stakes.
The armed robberies, the rapes, the murders, a lot of the sex offenses.
If his office doesn't have the time or resources to do it right, they won't take a case. Especially those really serious cases. What they call level 5.
Say, for example, a murder comes in. That would be what we call a level 5 case. Then we'd have to give that to a level 5 lawyer. If we don't have a level 5 lawyer with room on their caseload, we'll refuse that case.
Since January, his office has refused hundreds of cases to be sure they can defend the clients they do have. Better to make people wait than risk someone innocent going to jail. But refusing some cases is not the same as a strike. Derwin wants to be clear.
I'm like, a strike is when you're not doing work you can do to prove a point. This is work we cannot constitutionally, ethically, and professionally do. This is not a strike.
When Derwin's office started refusing cases, there were consequences. For one, hundreds of people accused of serious crimes were left in limbo, with no legal representation, which got the attention of the American Civil Liberties Union.
We started hearing that there were people who were going to be sitting in jail without the lawyers that they have the constitutional right to have. And from our standpoint, it doesn't matter why they're not getting lawyers. They're not getting lawyers.
Derwin's office gets sued and other ripple effects. That's coming up on Reveal.